to the Stonewall Podcast. I'm your host, Jason Camry, and with me today is Sarah Gregg, the marketing manager for the Natural Stone Institute. Sarah, thanks for taking the time to be here today. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for inviting me.
Of course. So for those that don't know Sarah, last year, I can't believe it's already been a year, her and I discussed about Women in Stone and the important work she's doing with them. So if you want to learn more about Sarah and what she does with Women in Stone, go back to that podcast and listen to that. But today we are talking about sustainability, and it's important, and it's kind of a topic that doesn't get as much coverage as it really should. So the first thing, Sarah, I want to kind of talk to you about is natural stone and its sustainability, because I do think there are some misconceptions out there that natural stone isn't the sustainable product. A lot of people think, oh, well, you're pulling it from the ground, so thus it can't be sustainable, and they're not fully educated on the topic. So I guess if you don't mind, just kind of break down a little bit what makes natural stone sustainable.
Sure, and this is a really common question and something that's hard to wrap your head around, and it was hard for me to wrap my head around initially as well, because sustainability is such a broad term. And it means different things in different conversations. So I guess from what I know and from what I understand, sustainability with natural stone comes in a few different forms, right? We've got basically our inherent attributes. So what is it about natural stone that makes it last a long time, reduce the amount of chemicals we need to use to care for it, maintain it, and those types of things. And then we also need to talk about how much energy is used during production. So let's talk first about the inherent attributes of natural stone. So the first thing is, it is a single ingredient natural material. If we're comparing ourselves with other building materials, there's a lot of ingredients and there's an entire process to create those ingredients. With natural stone, it's stone. There's just one single ingredient, so it's very easy to understand, and it's a very safe and healthy material. The next thing that comes into play is the VOCs. So in plastics, there is an emission of VOCs. In solvents, there's an emission of VOCs. That's not healthy for the people who are working around it or living near it, right? Mm-hmm. Stone has zero VOCs. Another piece is that it's very durable. You put up a piece of natural stone and the care and maintenance of it is minimal. And this is proven, you know, over the centuries with building projects that are still in place today that use natural stone and really are not being cared for or maintained almost in any way, right? Like the pyramids of Giza and Stonehenge. And there's lots of examples in Europe with St. Peter's Basilica is very old construction. I believe that was in 1500s. Washington, D.C., there's tons of projects out there that feature natural stone, and they look wonderful, okay? Mm-hmm. Other materials can't really make that case because they haven't been around as long as us, but we know that our materials are going to last a very long time. And then another piece of it is that it is recyclable. Mm-hmm. Most other building materials, you take them off of a building and they go into a landfill. Mm-hmm. And there is a lot of stone that ends up in a landfill, but it shouldn't. It doesn't need to, because there are take-back programs. You can reuse it in another construction project. There's just so many opportunities to reuse stone. And so that's a really good piece of the sustainability story as well. And then the final thing, which is probably like the most obvious and biggest part of it all, is the low embodied carbon. So that's like the hot term right now, right, is carbon footprint and the embodied carbon of a building, the operational carbon of a building. And what does that all mean? With natural stone, Mother Nature has done most of our manufacturing, right? It's created under the ground. It takes a very long time. But when we cut it out of the ground, we don't need to crush it up and glue it back together. All we do is cut it, and we do the finishing work that's required to turn it into a usable building material. Let's compare that, right? So with stone, we cut it out of the ground, we transport it to the producer who cuts it to size, and it's basically done. Okay, it's already in that construction, that solid mass form. Let's look at precast concrete. This is a common competitor for natural stone in regard to cladding. So first, precast concrete, you have to mine the minerals for the cement, right? So you're mining these minerals out of the ground, very similar to how we're taking natural stone out of the ground. They are starting with raw materials that come from the ground. We aren't the only ones making a hole. So they take those that raw mineral and they crush it, and then they heat it at very high temperatures until it turns into a powder, right? So that's your cement. They also include steel. And actually, 80% of steel used in construction is recycled. So that's a really great point to make. But they need to acquire the steel, transport it to the steel mill, and then melt it and put it into its new form, which in precast concrete, we're talking about steel rods. So then you are then taking more stone. Okay, so you've got your cement or your cement part that's stone, but then you've also got your aggregates that are stone. So you're again mining material, natural raw materials out of the ground. So here's all the ingredients so far. We've got the aggregates, we've got the cement, we've got the steel. There's other things that could be in there, like fly ash, which is a byproduct of coal manufacturing. You've got, colorant and different things. There's different things that may go into the mix, but not always. So all of these different materials are transported to the manufacturer. They combine them all together. They add water. They put them into molds, and then they let it cure. And then you have your cladding material. Now go back to natural stone. All we're doing is cutting it out of the ground. We're slicing it into the right sized pieces and we're shipping it out. So we take out all of that middle stuff. And you can compare to other building materials too, like engineered quartz and sintered surface and porcelain and ceramics. And they all do, the same thing in different ways with different ingredients. They take raw materials out of the ground, stone, they crush it up and they glue it back together. But the process for bringing natural stone materials to market is just much simpler. And so I think when you actually look at all of those steps, and we have a really great CEU that we debuted a couple of weeks ago that explains all of this and does a really good job of kind of helping you to understand in kind of conceptualize the impacts compared to these other materials.
No, absolutely. Absolutely does. And this is important. I know a lot of fabricators in the past, we both do events and whatnot, and it's this thing that kind of gets told to fabricators, but they don't really focus in on it. And I think, unfortunately, it's something that fabricators, it always seemed like a thing they had to worry about in the future, right? Yes, the younger generation seems to care more about sustainability, but I think there's a really good argument to be made that you should be caring about it now, because this is what architects and designers are talking about, especially with LEED and everything that goes into there. If you start speaking their language, sustainability, it's going to help you with those type of projects and, hopefully close those type of projects. So I guess from the Natural Stone Institute's perspective, what are you seeing with kind of the more awareness towards sustainability and, its importance or its discussion about how important it is?
Yeah, I think this is a discussion of a question of relevance, right? Because we can all agree that it's important to be, good stewards of the environment, use healthy materials so that the people on our earth are healthy. And that's all great. But the question that people ask me a lot is what's the ROI? It all comes down to money. So when you're selecting materials for a project, the number one factor is price. The number two factor is aesthetics. And everything else kind of falls in place behind it. And sustainability is one of those things that falls in behind it. But in more progressive audiences, which would include the design community, architects, interior designers, that are more cognizant of these environmental impacts, they are using this data in order to make materials decisions. So even if the homeowner doesn't really care one way or the other. You know, they're just looking at the price and what it looks like. Even if they don't care, they're being led by the design community. There is, you mentioned LEED. So LEED is one of several green building schemes. There's the Living Building Challenge, there's Sites, there's WELL. There's a lot of different ones out there, but they all give points based on environmental impacts of materials that are going into building projects. There's also regulations that are either in place or being introduced. So both California and Colorado currently have in place regulations that dictate the maximum global warming potential of high impact building materials. Okay, this is only two states and it's only the high impact building materials. Stone is not a high impact building material. So we don't currently have regulations on this, but because those things are already in place and because other states are considering similar regulations, we can kind of start to predict that this may be our future. There's also been legislation introduced into the federal government that is based around these same things. Let's define how much embodied carbon can be in these buildings and how much operational carbon these buildings are allowed to emit, right? So what we need to do as an industry is to quantify these impacts, because this whole story that I just told you with how natural stone is brought to market versus how precast concrete is brought to market, like you can kind of understand it's got to be better because there's so many fewer steps and there's so many fewer ingredients. It's got to be better. But we need numbers to back that up. And those numbers are what's being put into the calculator tools that designers are using to calculate the embodied carbon of their projects. Mm-hmm. So I've talked about regulations. I've talked about the LEED, the green building schemes. But another thing that's happening is more environmentally conscious companies like Microsoft, like Apple, like Salesforce. These huge multi-billion dollar companies are setting their own, I don't want to say regulations, that's not the right word, but their own rules for the projects that they work on. And they'll say, okay, I want to do the right thing for the environment, whether it's a requirement or not. Our company is going to do the right thing. And so it's becoming increasingly common to define a carbon budget for your project. So not only do you have a money budget for how much it can cost in total, you have a carbon budget. So add all of the embodied carbon of all of the building materials that you're using, and you have to stay below this point. So can you substitute some of that concrete for natural stone? Because then you can move that bar down on the embodied concrete. Or the embodied energy. Makes sense?
And
you can take a lower embodied carbon product and replace it for a higher one, your carbon budget is lower.
And I think that's an important point, which is, you know, yes, it's just in California and Colorado right now, but like you said, this will be coming to other states. And more importantly, there's just going to be individuals and individual companies who make these decisions. And if you can at least, you know, be able to have this talk with them, you're losing out on money, right? You're losing out on jobs because you just didn't take the time to understand it. And that is a huge important thing. It's just the education and the knowledge behind it, that it can't be stressed enough. So I guess going along with that, you know, what are some educational resources that the Natural Stone Institute has about sustainability so that people can start educating themselves more?
Yeah, so I mentioned a webinar that we just gave this month, and it's called Achieving Green Building Goals with Natural Stone. And it really hits on all of the important topics. And it, you know, for somebody that's in the industry, you can watch that and come away with a better knowledge of how to have these conversations with your clients. So to access that, you can go to our Natural Stone University. Just go to naturalstoneinstitute.org/university and then just search green building. And you'll see that session that pulls up. Another thing is our sustainability standard. So we have acquired this standard that was originally developed by the Natural Stone Council. And we've been doing everything that we can to build awareness about that standard within both the design community and the industry and get more quarriers and producers on board with that, because that really gets into so many elements of natural stone production and how we can be better. So how much water are we using? How much electricity? How far are we transporting the material? It also gets into corporate governance. Are we doing the right things socially? You know, prohibitions of child labor, prohibitions of forced labor, prevention of discrimination, all of those topics, incredibly important. It also covers health and safety of our workers, which of course is everything for us. It's if we, you know, we don't have anything in our careers unless we have our people and they're healthy and happy. So that's a really another important part of the whole sustainability conversation. But this standard allows companies to certify compliance so that when design teams are vetting materials and the companies that are going to supply them, they can look at a company that's certified to the standard and know that they're doing the right things in regard to all of these metrics. So that's a really important piece too. So you go to naturalstoneinstitute.org/sustainability and you can download the standard and then also get a good overview of what the metrics of the standard are. And there's another thing that we haven't really talked about yet, Jason. It's the EPD project, which is my world right now.
Yes, that's what I was going to ask about you next. So please, tell us all about the EPD.
Okay, so this is like a massive data collection effort across the industry, because like I was talking about these regulations, we need numbers to populate those calculator tools that design teams are using to create those estimates of the total embodied carbon of a building. And they can compare what's the natural stone's global warming potential, what is engineered quartz global warming potential. That GWP is the one that's being used to analyze all of this. And we currently are collecting data from quarriers, from natural stone producers. So these are the people who are taking those raw blocks from the quarries, cutting them to size. Mm-hmm. Also, the countertop fabricators are involved in a portion of this as well, because they're taking the slabs that are produced by the producers and customizing them for kitchens. Right. So all of this data is being submitted by, we've got over 20, I think almost 25 companies that are participating in this effort. And we'll combine all of their data, we'll analyze it all, we'll assign it to the different pieces of the production process so we know how much the impact is in each stage, whether it's the raw material extraction, the transportation, the manufacturing, the use phase, the installation. There's a lot of different pieces. It all needs to be mapped correctly, and it takes someone very smart to do that. So we have partnered with a company called Sustainable Minds, and they're helping us through this process so that we can quantify those environmental impacts so that they can be easily compared to other materials, and so that we can give that transparency that design teams need in order to make the calculations that they're starting, well, that many of them are using nowadays.
All right, awesome. So if people want to learn more about, you know, EBD or EPD, or they want to participate in it or help in any way, or just learn more about this topic in general, how should they go about doing that?
Again, that Natural Stone University is a really great resource that we have, naturalstoneinstitute.org/university. There's a session in there called EPD Participation. If you just search EPD, that will bring you there. And that explains exactly what we're doing with the EPD project. And if anybody is listening to this between now and the end of the year, it's not too late to jump into that. We need to collect the data before the end of February. So if you get in touch with me before the end of 2021, we can still get you in, teach you what we need submitted in regards to data, and get you slotted in for that, because that would be a really great opportunity for companies that are looking to align themselves with this green building movement, which is, you know, I would say it's important now. But if you don't believe me that it's important quite yet, I bet you I'm not going to get a lot of people that disagree that it's going to be important in the next 5 years. So let's do the right thing now and get our ducks in a row so that we can position Natural Stone to thrive in the future.
Absolutely. And too often I hear in this industry, something happens, either a new material, a new way of doing something, and fabricators don't jump on it on time or ahead of time, and then they look back several years and I wish I would have done this because now I have to learn this new machine about these different materials. I have to learn all this different stuff. Don't be that person again, right? Start learning about this stuff now. It's important too, because it is going to, if not important now, it will be important in your life somewhere down the road. So, Sarah,
Absolutely.
I appreciate you taking the time to talk to me today. Thank you so much.
Yeah, it's always a pleasure. Thanks, Jason.